And I see the little red dot.
Welcome to Embrace the Green Photography Podcast, a podcast focused on all forms of photography and the people who love to create. If you love cameras, analog or digital, old or new, expensive or economical, we welcome you here with open arms. Hello and welcome to episode 96, right? I think so. Yep. I've embraced the green. We're getting up there. 96 episodes, huh? It's getting to be pretty
You're within high. Reach of syndication territory, I'm just saying.
Uh-oh.
We're almost there.
Time to quit.
No, this is time when the royalties start to roll in. Theory.
Imagine.
We don't.
I haven't seen any yet.
So if you haven't guessed by now, we do have a guest tonight, and it is none other than Bill Smith from the Classic Camera Revival. We needed a guest last minute, and he was gracious enough to say, I'll do it.
And here I am.
And thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Yeah, so I thought recently... we've chatted a bit here and there, and you've spoke about how you've had to downsize for the time being. Now, not get rid of your collection, but pack it up for storage. And just leaving yourself with a smaller amount of cameras to use, which would be the same thing as downsizing, basically. So I thought maybe you would be a good person to talk to about that process.
Well, thank you for having me back, Sherry. And again, I should probably start the sordid tale. I was looking after my mom. I was living with her for probably a tick over 10 years. She had multiple health issues. Sadly, that was like the usual Alzheimer's, CPOD, heart failure. She went into care back in 2021. I continued on in the family house. She passed last year. And again, you know, things are going to start moving. So moving along, so basically winding the estate up. So I being co-executor, you know, sort of took a good long look. Now, for those who don't know, I live between Toronto and Hamilton, Ontario, on the North Shore of Lake Ontario, in a town called Oakville, which is sort of a wealthy suburb of the greater Toronto Golden Horseshoe region. And it's like, you know, I knew full on I'm going to be downsizing from basically an almost 3,000 square foot half family house down to something like around, if I'm lucky, 1,000 square feet in the city. My girlfriend's going to move in with me, and she's also into film photography as well. So what happened was, it's like some ugly truths came about. One, I had a Devere 504 enlarger. That wasn't coming along for the ride, so I had to sell it. And it's currently, if anyone's interested in a Devere 504 larger with a condenser head, it's in the use section at Burlington Camera in the basement. So I had to say goodbye to that. So I'm without larger, but all my other darkroom stuff, they're in boxes. All my chemistry that I'm still using, it's in sort of a plastic, so those Rubbermaid plastic containers with the sort of folding lids on top.
Right,
so
right.
If I want to do any processing, I can do that. But every time there's a request for a house showing, everything gets packed up and put away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's something like that. So so if we back up a little bit. So last fall, you know, if anyone is friends with me on Facebook, will have seen the picture of the dumpster. And I went three of those cleaning out the family house. And then it was sort of like, okay, I've got a lot of camera gear, and probably the dollar value is pretty expensive. So I had to get that off site. And my brother, of course, I babysat his camera gear when he was moving house back in 2009. And then later, when he was living in for 3 years in New York City while on a foreign transfer with work. So I kind of said, okay, it's time to repay the favor. Again, it's one of those trips to Canadian Tire, which is sort of like a, for the, our Americans in the studio audience, it's sort of like a hard goods department store. So they just don't sell really clothing all that much at Canadian Tire proper. They've got like a, an adjacent brand. You can go buy clothes there, but this is most likely household goods, hardware, automotive stuff, outdoor equipment. So literally I just went there, bought about 7-8 plastic bins, and I carefully packed up my gear. And again, buying up silica gel packs, both on the internet and then going to a local camera store to me, Burlington Camera, they chummy with one of the owners. Granted, many a moment of gas happened in the used section of that store, so she was sort of happy to repay the favor. Silica gel packs are your friend when you're putting stuff into storage for upwards of 6 months or so. So yeah, bought a ton of those and seeded each container full of equipment with silica gel packs. So then it was like moving stuff to my brother's place, and that took several trips. and again, it's it, and needless to say, I starting to incur wrath from my sister-in-law. What, another tub, Bill? Another tub? So I'm left with a small cadre of gear that's at my girlfriend's place. I'm a Miyase 220F, a couple of Nikon SLRs. It sounds like a lot, but it really isn't. With my and a couple of Nikon SLRs and my Nikon rangefinder system and my Canon EF and F1, and that's it. It's like, that's all I have here for now. And, you know, you make do with that.
How did you go about deciding which one that you wanted to keep with you and which one was going into storage?
Well, I sort of lucked at it and saying, okay, I'm doing Frugal Film Project, so I needed my trusting, because I was going to run Nick, a Nikkor mat for the coming year. So the FT3 stayed out. So I wanted to standardize on the AI Nikkor lens mount. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit forwards compatible. It's a little bit backwards compatible. If heaven forbid a bit of gas hit me somewhere between here and there, I've got stuff that I can use. And it's just sort of like, just went for the super reliable equipment that won't fail me.
Right.
And it's stuff that, heaven forbid, something were to happen to Joanne's apartment building, I'll be annoyed as all get out, but it's not going to be, well, stuff, it can be replaced. It'll just be like, you know, gnashing your teeth as you go. But it sort of just sort of stuck to stuff that's relatively compact, because again, it's, my stuff does have a footprint at Joanne's place. It's in her bedroom, along with a briefcase full of critical documents, you know, stuff like passport, you know, things like that.
Yeah
So
how long do you expect to be separated from your gear?
Well, the house is currently on the market now. Let's just say, for sake of argument, someone were to pop the offer my brother and I can't refuse. Then I got to turn around and buy a place probably late spring.
Ooh. Yeah.
Are you a little worried that when this time comes, when you're pulling the stuff out of storage, that your wife will say, well, you did without it this long, maybe we should put it up for sale?
I'll put you this way, Larry. My girlfriend has an upright baby grand piano circa 1918.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That will be going to my new place.
Ah, you got leverage.
Oh, we have leverage over each other. So it's like it's a bit of mutually assured destruction. And my brother, like, he has it with my sister-in-law. Like, sister-in-law's like, yeah, like, she handbags and books. Thank God my brother's a bookworm as well. So it's kind of like, six doesn't have the other. But then again, my brother also traded in a big pile of equipment for a Leica 35F2 Summicron lens with the goggles made in Midland, Ontario. So, this lens looked mint. And I'm sort of handling the transportation from Burlington Camera because I live halfway between Burlington Camera and my brother's place. Well, that the mailing address for now, I should say. So he's getting that Easter dinner.
That's a nice Easter gift.
Oh, yeah. Well, he traded in a pile of stuff.
Like I bet, yeah.
Yeah, Cunny Omega Graflex kit, because he has a Linhof, so I have 2 4x5 press cameras. A Linhof, a Cunny Omega press camera kit, a Yashica mat, and I'm trying to think one or two other pieces, and it just sort of, I think Alex had to top up about $700 or $800.
Yeah, I'm not positive on the numbers, but they couldn't have made too many of those Midland goggled Summicrons.
No, and this thing looks new.
Yeah,
that's so heartbeat. my brother's downright giddy, which will take the sting. He should off. Be. Yeah. It'll take the sting off income tax season. We'll leave it at that.
it would, yeah.
So yeah, it's sort of shooting on a smaller footprint. I'm shooting a lot more color than usual because it's almost easier saying, okay, I'm going to pull all my darkroom stuff, my developing stuff out as often, but it's more like we're blessed in Toronto to have a new lab that has opened up that the C41, E6, ECN2.
Nice.
Sweet.
I mean, and of course, black and white, but I do my own black and white. I might farm out Ferrania to them, see if they can do better than I can. But it's a case of, with color, it's easy peasy. The turnaround time is really pretty quick. So yeah. I can literally drop it off Saturday, Sunday. My girlfriend can pick it up Tuesday, Wednesday, and I have it the following Friday.
It's nice to have a reliable lab, isn't it?
Oh, hell. These guys are young. They've got brand new equipment.
Do you think, when you're in this area of transition where you're in this house and then you're in that house and everything's packed up, that you would tend to use a lab more, like for black and white, too?
I haven't yet. I don't process my own color, but it's sort of like now that my life is sort of shifting, like for example today I went to a new dentist in my new neighborhood where I had some issues with some teeth in my lower left jaw, and it was like I could have gone to my old dentist, but I think at this point my guy is basically retired now. I don't know really anyone in that practice. So it's like, let's just go to my girlfriend's dentist and just start a new relationship and get it going. And it's stuff like that. And it's just finding the new resources because I've been so used to using Burlington Camera, which is about half hour drive west of me. And it's like you're discovering new resources. Like there are a bunch of labs that have popped up in Toronto in the past year and a half, 2 years, that it's actually quite exciting.
Nice.
A new lab, a new dentist, everything's new.
Well, yes and no. the new dentist is around the corner of my favorite Midtown pub, so I'm kind of happy there. When I found out that the problems are nowhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be, I was like, yeah, I'm going for a stout.
That's exactly where I was yesterday, sitting in the dentist chair crying because it's going to hurt my wallet.
Oh, I know. I hear you.
And the Novocaine works much better with an IPA in you.
Oh, God. Well, in this case, it was an extra stout that clocked in at 7.2% made on site.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice.
Yeah, so moving, it's kind of interesting because you're sort of restricted and it's like you sit there going, I miss my rule. I think if anything, once I'm all settled in my new condo, I'm just going to wind up appreciating the stuff that has been in storage.
Right, because you've missed using it.
Yes.
Now, do you plan on keeping like a rotation of things that you put them in storage and bring some out, or do you plan on maybe getting rid of some stuff?
I haven't decided. I kind of look at it and it's like I got rid of my Pentax K-mount system a year and a half, 2 years ago, because I just was not using it.
Right.
And it's like, okay, it's got to go. I might trim back some of my mold Minolta equipment, but it's sort of like I'm kind of looking at it going, it's more like I'm buying, if any further gas comes along, and again, this is all famous last words, because we've heard this song and dance before, haven't we, kids? Yeah, this is my last one. Uh-huh.
I'm like, not buying anymore.
My brother all the time. He's like, I'm not getting anymore. Uh-huh. Yeah, Alex, sure. And 3 weeks later, you're going to send me a photo going, should I?
The answer is always yes, of course.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, then it's sort of figuring out my new darkroom solution. Because I'm going to down to like, hopefully at 1,000 square feet with two bathrooms. So I might be using the Andre Dominguez method, which is sort of putting a smaller and larger on a cart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
And that might my way to go, because I don't shoot large format. I shoot 35 millimeter and 120. So I just want a really good quality and larger that can go to 6x6 and print an amazing print. And that will be my next adventure after I'm settled, because it's sort of like there's still a lot of variables. Like until my house sells, right now I'm just kicking tires, which is a pain in the ass. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right.
So I think the big question is, it's sort of like photography in transition. And again, I think if anything, like I'm still shooting roughly the same. Like I'm probably not going to shoot much this weekend, but you know, I've built up a bit of a scanning pile in a banker's box along with other stuff that, again, when somebody asks for showing all the stuff that's in my home office desk on it, it's like gets packed up, gets put away into storage, and then it looks clean.
Yeah.
Cause it's sort of funny with that. It's like, and we have a guest.
We do. Thatcher is just a little bit late tonight, but he is here.
I am here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Bill?
It's an adventure. Living the adventure.
the gang's all here.
Exactly. So to recap, Sasha, we've been talking about my adventures in living in a staged house prior to a house sale.
All right.
And having most of my, probably about 90% of my collection in storage.
And apparently the realtor was. Yes, apparently the realtor wasn't down with all of his camera gear sitting out on tables and shelves.
No. In fact, I wouldn't be either, because the last thing you want is some of that stuff disappearing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I think Satcha's just went through this moving thing too. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just getting settled in. Yeah, we bought our first house. It's a house from like 1954, so it's a nice old house. But yeah, she's got personality.
Where is it located?
I'm just outside of Montreal.
Okay, are you still on the island or off the island?
Off the island. I'm in Vaudreuil, so just.
Okay. Oh wow, you're at the end of the almost the end of the line.
Yep, I'm at the end of the train line that brings me to work. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, I hope you're stumble distance to the station. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it's about a 5-minute walk, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, my walk to my station is a little longer, like a half hour.
Okay.
Yeah, so literally. I basically spend my weekends at my girlfriend's place in Toronto. So literally it's like I have a think tank camera bag that sort of has I think I have my Nikon FM2 in there, three lens setup, all four of my light Rolly 35s, film. I can fit my iPad Pro with the sort of detachable keyboard, a book I'm reading, some notebooks, some pens, and it's like, that's my weekend. You know, walk to the city, walk to the station, hop the train, navigate the Toronto subway system, get to my girlfriend's place, and I might use that camera that weekend, or I'm probably using something that I'm stored, that's in storage at Joanne's. And, you know, and I still have my film stash out in Oakville, so it's in the fridge, which no one's touched, thankfully.
Yeah. Yes.
But that's been sort of my life.
Now, how big is your film stash? There's a good question.
Most of my black and white's in storage. Like, I've got my Fomapan 400 in a bulk roll. And I sort of got film distributed in different camera bags that are at Joanne's. Plus, all my color film is in my fridge at home and freezer. And right now, I've got about four rolls of Harman Phoenix that I'm waiting for slightly brighter weather in Southern Ontario to make itself available so I can try that film out. But I've been really liking the Eastman Kodak Vision 250D. Now that I have access to an ECN2 lab, it's just like, it just sort of changed all sorts of things.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you know those folks are going to be snooping around your house. What do you think they think when they open your fridge and see it full of film instead of
food?
Milk, yes.
Food, yeah. It's funny because I used to have, you know, my beer in there as well, but I sort of beat that down to nothing because I was just sort of like, you know what? Just going to be at my girlfriend's place. And, you know, yeah, there's some food in there and film. And it's, I'm not sure what they think about it, but it's like, whatever. It's clean. That's all that matters.
Yeah, there you go.
I heard you talking wistfully about your Rolly. Do you have a plan for when you get it back in your hand?
Oh, yeah. My 3.5E, my 3.5F Rollies. I've got some Agfa Optima 160 that I've been sitting on in a freezer at home. That's going to get some action. And this Optima is probably expired in 2005, but it's been freezer stored.
Right.
Nice.
And a former Agfa employee gave it to me. It was just sort of like, yeah, this stuff was just hanging around the freezer at work and we no longer need it. So I was gifted it. Went into a chest freezer, and then they gave it to me. The color palette is beautiful. You will never see anything like it unless some crazies at ADOX decide to, like, reverse engineer it.
I had
go to the trouble.
One roll of it I had, and the storage was questionable, so I just went and I shot it. Mm-hmm. And it was so pretty.
Oh, I know. It's like, I super enjoy it. And in fact, it's like, it's now that you've got companies like Flick Film that are making Eastman motion picture stocks. Like, they even like sell re-spooled motion picture Ektachrome 100 slide film.
They've got new 800 film out too that I just got my hands on, but I haven't had chance to shoot it yet.
Oh boy.
It looks it's going to be nice. The Aurora 800?
Aurora, okay.
Yeah,
you interviewed the people, the brains behind Flick Film, and I've just started using their bulk roll canisters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, because I've sort of like, everyone knows and despises those cult plastic ones with the little screw-on ends that,
right.
Yeah. You're kind of scared that screw on end is going to come off while you're taking it out of the camera. And that really sort of scary looking felt that looks like it's going to disintegrate. Flick Film, they've engineered these. They're kind of tricky to put together when you first start out. And I've kind of said to friends, if you're going to go this route, assemble first before you do it with film. I lost the equivalent of 2 rolls of film trying to master it. And it's like, do that so you don't make the same mistake I did.
Yeah. I see he's selling a special tool for them, and I might have to invest in one of those.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find, because like, it came with a tool. I'm just not sure how it works. And, of course, there's no operating instructions. And it's like, okay, how does this work?
Just message them. I'm sure that they would maybe make
I'll
a video.
Do that, and I'll just say, hey, dumb question. How does this work?
Yeah, because they've recently started putting stuff up on Instagram with videos, so maybe they would take that as a suggestion. And
yeah, because they've got a new tool that's much more simple. Like they 3D printed this, and it looks like it's sort of like a closet, sort of, I guess, pry it open, but the new one's even more simplistic.
Yeah.
I don't know, but, you know, try doing that in a dark changing bag.
We won't
practice on the light first, right?
We won't discuss like what that. I do to mine.
I'm going to the mine. So, it's sort of photography during the in-between. It is keeping me sane. And if I've got multiple showings one day, it's like, okay, this is an excuse to go out and do some shooting.
Right.
Disappear for a few hours while the house is being shown off and hope for the best.
Yeah.
So other than the AGFA that you mentioned, what would you say is your most special film? Like, what are you keeping for that one day? Don't know when you're going to use it, but it's there.
Oh, it's funny. We had this conversation last night because we recorded a classic camera revival episode of favorite emulsions that disappeared and their replacements.
Mm.
And I would say, I think it was my favorite emulsion of all, Fuji Riala 100, which is now gonzo, so gonzo. And, you know, replace it with Ektar because that's the equivalent in Kodak land. It just had a certain look to it, and I don't have anything saved for it. I think I just sort of tend to use my film now, because you save it for a special occasion, and one day that film will be on the beyond the pale, and it's just like, it's too expired. Let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a roll of 120 of Riala in there.
Go shoot it.
I am trying to embrace that. Don't save your special film. Shoot it tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's the special day. And
shop at home.
Something like that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I sort of kind of asked myself, do I need to buy more? No, I've got color film.
Yeah.
Well,
the only one I want to buy is the one you mentioned earlier, the Phoenix, simply because that's my son's name, my 2-year-old's name. So I'm like, I have to buy his namesake and shoot it.
I can give is, which I'm doing right now, is research the heck out of it so you can figure out how to best expose it. And if you've got your go-to do you process your own color film, or do you sort of?
Until I moved, I was processing my own. Now I don't know if I'm. I know I have the space in the house. I just have to figure out where I'm going to do it. So until then, it'll be a lab.
Yeah, that makes sense. And of course, your closest lab is basically downtown Montreal.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
Luckily, I work downtown Montreal, so it's not so
even
bad.
Better. So it's just basically a ride on the EXO.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah. So what is the photo lab scene like in Montreal? Like, I know I'm aware of Borealis, which is sort of like everyone is in Canada.
Mm.
Who else would you recommend, especially if we're passing through or visiting Montreal and wanted a reasonably quick turnaround time on, say, C41?
I would say Studio Argentique.
Okay.
Argentique is probably my favorite. I went to another one I don't want to mention to to slander or anything, but I got my film back all with scratches and all that, and I never had that issue with Argentic. And I get them to process the film, but then I scan it myself at home and everything, and then I pay the extra
that's
money.
That's what I do. Saves a ton of money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. If you have the capability at home, there's no reason not to, I guess.
Well, you control the last kilometer, and it's like
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's sort of funny because we've got a gentleman in the Toronto Film Shooters Facebook group. He actually works in the motion picture industry as a colorist.
Okay.
So literally, it's like we've been sort of thinking at some point we've got to get Ryan on, show us his post-processing regime in Lightroom.
Yeah. That would be fascinating to see. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be, because he's the guy who's that last look, sort of standardized the look to make it, you know, look beautiful. And now granted, he'll probably take all the character away with any given emulsion, because it's sort of like, yeah, I want it to look like this, boom. As opposed to that stereotypical Kodak gold look or Portra 400, it's sort of like,
right,
it's like this look by Ryan for, you know, insert name of TV or movie production here.
But if you want to get that, you can just move the sliders closer to the center. Let him get you in the neighborhood.
Yeah, pretty much. And again, it's sort of like it would be an interesting talk in its own right. I just, you know, priorities.
Exactly.
And it'll be the rare video episode, because it's sort of like, yeah, it'd be a live demonstration.
Yeah, the only place I've gotten to go for, I didn't get my film processed there, but I went and bought film, was Downtown Camera in Toronto. I went in summer of 2020, I believe it is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it was crazy. It was bizarro world, because I got in the CN Tower and out of the CN Tower in an hour, which never happens. Because
Sasha. Okay. Granted,
there was no
time.
Tourists. The borders were closed. So. Well, we just drove over.
Well, that's the crazy thing. Now, Downtown Camera, they've got an amazing film selection. Grain Nation over on Spadina in Chinatown is like, they're carrying all sorts of obscure stuff that you just don't see. They've also, for if you want to buy a view camera. And they're also a mint dealer if you're into sort of high-end instant film.
Camera. I guess maybe you'll have a spot to buy a Mint Rolly 35 locally, maybe.
I put the owner on the spot, and he could neither confirm nor deny, but it was that deer caught in the headlights and going, you read my mind, didn't you? And it's like, so for the purposes of this podcast, there has been no confirmation, nothing to see here, move along.
Okay, so he's got one coming. Yeah, okay.
Maybe. And it's
so much for no gas, boys.
Also, the other thing with Grey Nation is they've got a coffee bar in-house.
Nice.
And the barista brings black tea back from his hometown in China.
Oh, that's nice. Cool.
Yeah, so it's like they know what they're doing, and the place is already slammed. They're busy. They've had to hire people.
That's awesome to see.
Yeah, they're a little further along their business model than they thought. And I was like, yeah, I think we'd have to hire new people in the next year. Oh, no, we've got to hire now.
Yeah, things can happen quickly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've been quite happy. And again, I've been buying film from them as well. It's, again, slightly more convenient for me. Like, it's funny because it's sort of like just how down Toronto's laid out via public transit, and it's sort of like Downtown Camera is just off the subway far enough that it's kind of like, okay, it's a bit of a track, whereas Grain Nation is just, you just literally hop off the Spadina streetcar, and if you've got your Presto card, you've got a 2-hour transfer time, so you can just literally go back on the streetcar when you're done within the 2 hours, and the ride's still free. So it's like, then you can just continue on where you need to get get to.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I live in the country in Tennessee, and the thing I'm most envious of is all this talk of hopping on trains.
You don't even have Amtrak in your area?
4 hours away in Atlanta.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That. Yeah.
The closest train we have to my house is the train at Dollywood.
Okay. A train from nowhere to nowhere.
Exactly. Well, it's a nice trip.
So
there you go. So, Larry and Sasha, I know we've never chatted before. Like, what are you guys up to with your photography these days?
Well, I'll let Larry go first.
Okay, thank you. I'm telling myself I'm going to complete the Frugal Film Project this year for the first time. I'm 3 months in and doing pretty good, Sherry.
There you go.
I shoot a little bit in my job. I work for a nonprofit, and I do I'm the communications director for a nonprofit. So wow. I shoot all the stuff for our website, that sort of thing. So I'm shooting a lot of digital in my, you know, in my day job.
So a lot of the event work.
Right. Yeah. It's, we have, you know, fundraisers, walks, training sessions. And I create all the content for our website, I shoot a lot of video. But one of the things that we were on the way to doing when COVID hit, and we're just now getting it back, is the nonprofit I work for serves people with Alzheimer's.
Oh, okay.
And using film.
You're doing important work. My mom had Alzheimer's, so it was like.
Thank you.
I leaned rather heavy on the local. There's a local health unit called Acclaim Health in Oakville that dealt with, that sort of worked with families with.
Yeah. No one could do it.
Dementia and Alzheimer's, and it was just, they were godsend.
No one can do it alone. One of the things I've been thinking is a lot of the folks, you know, usually if you have Alzheimer's, you're of an advanced age, and they remember their father's Rollies and their father's Polaroids and their mother's Kodak Instamatics. So I've been collecting cameras like that to help with reminiscence. To prompt memories. And so I took my dad's SX-70 to an assisted living. And we took some photos of the folks living with the disease, and it helped spark some memories and help get some conversation going about the things they remember.
Well, it's funny. There's another group here in Toronto. They do it in conjunction with a local jazz radio station, and they basically get old iPods, fill it full of music, and they distribute it to Alzheimer's patients, so it helps trigger their memories.
That's really important. Music is one of the best ways to people who haven't been communicative for months or years. You put some Temptations or some old Johnny Cash in their ears, and they start singing and they start moving.
That's good.
It's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, because I used to work in communications. I'm now sort of retired for now. We'll leave it at that. Former hired gun. So yeah, I was involved with my local IABC chapter. So long before the pandemic and my mom's health really declined. So that was my professional story. And again, I'm very involved with Classic Camera Revival and the local film communities here in Southern Ontario. So, Sasha, what are you up to after moving it to Vaudreuil, which is like the end of the line?
The end of the line, yeah. Well, now it's sort of giving myself a kick in the rear to restart. I sort of put everything on hold for the last about 3-4 months, sadly. Just with moving, which was very unique experience. It's the first house I've ever owned in my life. Like, even my parents didn't own the house that I lived in, so my goal
at least
was
you don't
to
have to deal with the July 1st move date anymore.
Oh god, yeah. Oh yeah. So for those who don't know, in Montreal, July 1st is international moving day for us, which doesn't surprise anyone that the French population would choose Canada Day as the day they are too busy doing something else.
And it's like the Hunger Games for a U-Haul.
Oh my God, it is.
I was just inside Sasha. I was born in Montreal. I lived there till I was 12.
There you go. And I am French Canadian. I only learned how to speak English when I was 5 or 6, I know we're deviating off, but it's fine. In Montreal in the mid 80s, there was a construction shortage. Like there was no work, and my family worked in construction. So they moved to Mississauga, my brothers and my dad, to go find work. And then after 6 months, when they had contracts and everything, they brought my mom and I over. But I was French. I didn't understand English at all. And then my father.
You were next door to me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, yeah, my father one day just dropped me off at kindergarten, and I was crying and didn't understand English. And he pointed at me, laughed, and then left. And I learned English along the way. And that's how now.
I need French immersion like that. Just dump me off in Gaspé or something, and it's like he'll pick his French back up real fast.
Oh yeah, I don't know how the French will be, but you will pick up French for sure.
I wouldn't like be asked to write a novel equivalent of Victor Hugo or anything, but it'd be like, yes, I can order beer, I can order food, I won't get into trouble.
There you go.
And I won't starve.
Yeah, so now I've managed to set up my main case where I have like my display case where I have the cameras I actually use. The rest are currently in storage in my basement. But yeah, it's probably tomorrow, because I'm gonna go work in the office tomorrow. I'll probably pick up a camera, and that'll be my March Frugal Film Project entry, which will be my first one for the year. Like I said, I missed two of them with the buying a house.
How about this for an idea for a theme? Your commute.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to start. And funnily enough, so I moved from Vaudreuil to Vaudreuil, and my previous house, my backyard was extremely small, and the train actually passed, like the VIA train and CN trains. Past, and I literally from my balcony I could throw a paper airplane and hit a train, like it was that close. But now I've moved, and I still have the train in my backyard, but now I have a 9,000 square feet property, so the train is further down, but it is the commuter train this time, not the VIA train. So it is the EXO train I take to work. So I want to start like a few shots in my backyard, and then the station itself, and then in the train, and then finish where I work. So I work at in the Sun Life building at downtown Montreal. So it's a gorgeous building.
Oh my God. My dad worked at the Sun Life in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know the building well.
And it's a gorgeous building. It's a gorgeous old building.
It is an architectural gem.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jake, Larry, and Sherry, if you've ever seen the Sun Life building, but it's a beautiful building. And there's even a fun story where during World War II, the British sent all of their part of their wealth to be stored inside the Sun Life building in case they were taken over during World War II. So we have a vault in the basement. It's now used as like the mail room or something, but it once held a lot of the bonds and everything and gold of the Queen.
Oh, neat. I have not been east of Winnipeg.
Mm. We'll have to fix that.
Yeah.
I've never been north of New York.
I've been to New York. It's been a while.
Yeah. I've seen photos of the Sun Life building, and it is beautiful. It just looks so, it looks like it may be inspired Legos.
I get what you mean. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, it was built, I think it's up to 7 floors was the first phase. And then they added more floors on top of the 7th, up until, I think it was like the 18th or 19th floor, and then they added the last three, four floors last. So it is, it does look like Legos that were built on Legos. It does go with a wider base, a smaller mid, and then an even smaller top at the end
of it. It's very photogenic. I assume you have some photos, right?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite spots. There's actually a couple frugal film shots from last year that was from that. A couple completely failed because I realize I don't know scale focusing at all, and I chose a scale focusing camera, but you know, you win some, you lose some. Yeah, an old Fed 50 camera that I had tried last year was a fail. This year I'm going with something simpler.
It's never a fail because you tried it and you learned something.
That is true. By the end I was managing to get those shots.
See?
Yeah, scale focus is an acquired taste. Like, I love my Rolly 35s. I haven't taken a bad shot yet, but I'm probably better at guesstimating distance than maybe average.
Right.
But it also depends. Like, most of the Rolly 35s have either feet and meters, but one production example, when I had the Schneider Zenner lens, when they first moved to production to Singapore, it only had meters.
Okay.
So it's like you're converting in your head going, what does 3 meters look like? Well, that's almost 9 feet, give or take.
Yeah. You're like me, Bill. You're of that generation where they swapped us from imperial to metric.
Halfway I can measure school. Both. I just can't convert between the two to save my life.
Me either. I can. I drive in miles, but my speed is in kilometers. But I use inches to measure. But temperatures in Celsius. Ow. I'm a mess.
One of wait. One of my former.
Yep.
In a former life, a friend of mine had a freelance Steadicam operator, and it's from back in the day when Steadicams were, being a Steadicam operator was a specific profession, and I pulled focus for him a lot of times. So I learned how to estimate distances pretty well when I was working as a focus puller for him. So I can scale focus pretty well.
Yeah, and again, I'm kind of curious what they're going to come out with the Rolly 35 autofocus, because that is, I think that's going to drop this fall, and there's going to be a feeding frenzy on that camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My old eyes would love it.
To be honest, I am seriously going to set some money aside for it, because, again, I think it's going to be a more... Like, Pentax still sounds like they're very much in the development stage, whereas the Rolly 35 AF is their working prototype. We're getting into production stage.
As soon as I heard half frame for the new Pentax, I went, oh, no, not half frame.
Yeah.
The kids want verticals. The kids want verticals.
Well, then turn the camera sideways.
Well, part of my adventures in the great grand purge and pack 2023 is, you know, triaging boxes of slides. And of course, you know, the good stuff I put into storage carefully. I came across some stuff that my dad shot at Expo 67. On Kodachrome, perfectly exposed. It was in his Olympus point-and-shoot half-frame.
Oh, God.
Mounted slides.
Wow. How do I you scan? Display that?
How do I scan that? I'm like, let's leave that for the studio audience. How do you scan mounted slides? And don't say, well, get your happy DSLR.
You get your Epson out and your museum glass and you put it down there, and then you get silver fast and select one at a time.
That's what I do. View scan for the win. But yeah, it's, I discovered a lot of stuff, like from, you know, my grandparents, like piles of negatives, including glass negatives.
Wow.
From the late 19th century. So it's like, again, it's like you get to the point you're on a deadline with the packing because you want to get the place ready for staging, to get it ready for sale. So it's like, yeah, this is a rabbit hole I cannot afford to go down at the moment.
Right, right.
Reasonable.
At some time, though, you will.
Oh, I know I will at the other end on a dismal November day. It'd be perfect fodder. But yeah, just not last November.
Well, we are almost out of time here. And I know that Jake has a big day tomorrow, so we don't want to keep him too late.
So what's the big day there, Mr. Rose?
Oh, nothing too serious. I'm just getting up a little early and going to Portland, Maine. I am seeing a comedy show tomorrow night.
Cool. I haven't been to Portland in many moons. I got a friend who lives down that way.
Okay. Yeah. It's a beautiful area.
So you're just going to go down 95?
Exactly. Yeah, down the 95 and... we're staying in downtown Portland, and the concert or the comedy show is downtown Portland. So,
sweet.
Food and beer. Be sure to pick it. And yeah, it'll be a good night.
Be sure to pick up some substandard maple syrup.
No, only Canadian in this house, Larry.
Don't forget your Konica that's waterproof and.
Yeah, that. If I was going to bring a camera, that would be the one, because it is going to be a wet night, and I think it's going to rain Friday and Saturday as well. So,
ouch.
Yeah,
we're lucky. It's a dry weekend for us.
Oh, but you got hit with snow last weekend, though, or just before last weekend, didn't you, Bill?
Yeah, we did. It was funny. I got into the city before. It was weird, though. The snowstorm hit around rush hour, and my girlfriend and I were debating, okay, do you want to go to dinner at the Granite Brewery, which is over a 15-minute walk east of us, my favorite local Midtown pub? They had a really good pasta special. Oh, no, let's just go to Sip Wine Bar and grab pizza there. Okay, it's literally a block south from the apartment, and it was the snow really had started to come down. It's like today probably like low 50s, high 40s Fahrenheit, or about 8, 9, 10 degrees centigrade. Snow's almost all gone.
Yep. Same here. Because we got it after you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny because I was sort of like, I was looking at the weather radar. I was like, well, where is the system? And then it's just like this big blue blob. I'm going, oh, that's the system.
I hate to tell you, but in about a week, Bill, you're going to get some more, because we had an inch last night and we're going to get an inch tonight.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. It's getting to Montreal. So it'll probably be like Monday for you, Bill.
Who knows?
I suddenly don't envy you guys so much, because it's going to be 25 degrees this weekend.
Oh, no, it was plus 8 this afternoon. But it was minus 11 last night.
Yeah, it's so. There was like a week ago or 2 weeks ago where it was like in the positives and then just fell to the negatives like by the end of the evening, and everything was frozen over the next day. And then 2 days later, it was sunshine and everything's gone. And
we had all the water was open. The geese were coming back. Now the water is all closed. It's froze over again. And I can't find a goose. They went back south.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, geese are not always nice, so I was not Canadian geese.
Oh, no.
So I
want to avoid them. No.
Murder geese?
No. I did.
No, but they do mean spring is coming. That's the only reason I want to see them.
Well, I saw a blue jay yesterday morning in my yard in Oakville.
Well, I kept those all winter. I've been feeding them peanuts.
Yeah, I had a robin on my... on the railing in my front house, exactly as I was looking out the window, because I work most of the week from home, and I just look out the window and there's a beautiful robin, and I'm like, aw, this is better than living in the city, which I used to up until my kid was born.
Well, whereabouts were you living in Montreal? Were you like right downtown or?
NDG for several years.
Oh, okay.
But most of my life was East End St. Leonard, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I grew up five blocks west of the Loyola campus at Concordia. So,
okay.
Give you a rough idea.
Yep.
And yeah, it was funny because it was like I saw the Blue Jay yesterday. And I thought, I've got the lens for it. Oh, it's at my brother's place.
Oh, no. You knew it was going to happen. You knew.
Oh, I know. As a Blue Jay, I had the color film. It's like, oh, I can do this. No, I can't. Oh, well.
Yeah, your gear's a bit scattered at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah.
It is what it is. It's like, it's sort of photography for the in-between times.
Right, right. That's why it's so hard to pick, what do I want to keep? What do I have to put away? What can go, like, and then after you get rid of it or put it away, it's like, oh, I wish I had.
Well, it's sort of that weird little exercise. It's like, Sherry, you've been on a family farm, but what if all of a sudden you sold that family farm and you're relocated to, I don't know, a new farm in Ontario? And it's just like, I got to pack all this stuff up.
Well, we already did that 120 years ago, Bill. I traced the family history back there, right around where you guys are.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, because you have a massive property, right, Sherry? Your property is pretty huge.
It's expanded over the years. But yeah.
Well, I hope you got a good growing season this year.
It's looking pretty dry.
Hey. Sandbox. But
it's going to be what it's going to be.
There you
I try to say this every time I think to Sherry, thank you for feeding us.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Anyway, so should we wrap up and let Jake go because he wants to go to bed, this young fella?
Well, he's got a bit of a haul tomorrow.
He does. So
yeah, it's a 5-hour drive or so.
Yeah.
Could be worse. Okay.
So it's like Montreal to Toronto, so to speak.
Something like that. Minus yeah, the ugly yeah, traffic for, at either end.
Yeah, for us here in the middle of New Brunswick, it's about an hour and a half ish shorter than driving to Montreal.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Thank you very much, Bill. It was nice to meet you. I think I I've listened to you for years, but I glad to thank you very much.
The pleasure is mine, and it's also it's been a great pleasure to meet you, Larry, and it's also a great pleasure to chat with you, Sasha.
Thank you.
You know. If I do wind up in your neck of the woods, I'll let you know.
And vice versa, if ever I'm in your neck of the woods, I'll let you know as well.
Okay.
And next time you're at Dollywood, look me up.
Okay.
If you're in the middle of Alberta and you don't know where you are,
oh, there you go.
You're at Sherry's
give me a
place.
Call.
I'll fire the flare up.
Be careful. There is an army base around here.
Oh, you're near Cold Lake?
No, south of that. Wainwright.
Oh, okay.
So I see flares and helicopters quite regularly. So be careful if you're firing flares.
Fair enough.
So everybody have a great next couple weeks. And bye for now.
Bye for now,
bye, everyone.
Thanks again, Bill.
My pleasure.
All righty, let's get our socials out because everybody wants to know exactly where they can find us. So you can find me on the Facebook group, Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast group. You can also find me on the Frugal Film Project group. You can find me on Instagram at Sherry Christensen Photography. That's SHERRYCHRISTENSEN Photography. I know it's long. Sorry, I should have thought about that before I did it. yeah. Larry?
My name is Larry Effler. My Instagram handle is Larry Effler, and my Facebook page is Larry Effler. I'm just not very imaginative.
Sasha?
Yeah, so you can find me on as well the Embrace the Grain Photography podcast page. I post there. I post on the Frugal Film Project as well. And my two personal Instagrams for my digital are Evil Kitten Productions. And for my film, it is EKP Film Photo.
And Jake.
You can find me on Instagram at Jake Rose Photo and in the Embrace the Grain Photography Facebook group.
That's great. See you all in a couple weeks. Bye.
Bye.
One more thing before we go. It will only take a couple minutes of your time. And if you would feel so inclined as to give us a rating or a review on your favorite podcatcher, it would really help us out. Thank you so much.